gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. Transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far He has removed our transgressions from us. Praise the and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love.
Thank you. I just want to thank you that you're not far away from each one of us here this evening. And as we're worshiping, I just saw, it's like we often perceive that we're in a storm, but in that storm I saw Jesus asleep, because he's not worried about the storm, because he knows he's the one who calms the storm. And if Jesus is with us, he will calm that storm. And Lord, we just want to thank you for that. He's not far away from each one of us here this evening.
And those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people both now and forevermore. Do good, our Lord, to those who are good, to those who are upright in heart. And so, Lord, we just want to thank you this evening for your just tenderness. Thank you, Lord, for revealing to us once again the loving heart of the Father to his children. I thank you, dear Jesus, that you're not far from any one of us here, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that when we call on the name of the Lord, you are there with us. Thank you, Lord, that even if we don't call in your name, you're there with us, because you said you'll never leave us or forsake us. And I want to really pray this evening, Lord, that you'll open our eyes afresh to your truth and afresh to your kingdom. I pray, Lord, you allow us to see more clearly, Lord, all those things we have in you. And Lord, I want to pray this evening as we briefly just share your word and then we have communion together, Lord, that you'd meet with us as your people, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord. We pray that you would inhabit the praise of your people before we came this evening to worship you. And we thank you that you've done just that. And we want to thank you so much, Lord, for who you are. We want to glorify your name, Lord, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. So we just want to sit down briefly. We're just going to share a couple of things, and then we're going to have communion, and we'll have an opportunity to be prayed for, to be ministered to allow the Spirit just to come and touch each one of us. And as I was preparing this, I'm taking a little bit about what I said last week, which if you're here last Sunday morning, it'll be something along those lines. But I'm just going to turn to it's John 3. Worship guys, it's fantastic. It's absolutely brilliant. I guess we've all heard that phrase when people said there must be more than this. Who's heard that phrase? It kind of goes around at different times when people sort of say, there must be more than this, there must be more than this. And I've just been just thinking a lot recently about what does this more look like? And how can we almost reach into that? And the last couple of weeks, we were away on holiday, and we went to a place on the east coast of England called Broadstairs. And then on the way back, coming back towards Dublin, we drove back up through Nebworth, which is near a place called Stevenage, where I did my curacy. And we stayed with some friends of ours. And on the trip on holiday, we were bombarded by Zach with watching Toy Story 1 and Toy Story 2. And so by the end of seeing it about 1,500 times, not only do you know the story, you actually don't like the story. But anyway, we heard that Toy Story 3 was out. We thought, fantastic. And in 3D. So we promised him that when we came to Stevenage, we would take him to the cinema. And so it came in the morning. So Sophia was being looked after by friends of ours. And so we drove out to the cinema. And my son, Zach's only 3 years old. And I didn't realize what a massive thing it was going into a cinema at 3 years old. You suddenly realize actually what a huge kind of place it is. So arrived at the cinema, we went in, we purchased the tickets, which is like getting a mortgage on a house these days. We then went in and bought some popcorn and nachos or whatever, because it's a real special treat and everything. And so we went, bought that, and then we walked into the cinema after giving the ticket in and went in and sat down. And as we sat down, I sat here, Zach sat here, and Catherine sat here. And as Zach sat here, because he's only small, his legs kept popping up in the air going, boop. We've seen that on those chairs. And he had to keep pushing it down. And the next minute, his legs would go, bop. up in the air like this. And so eventually we got the seat down and he was sitting there and we began to eat the popcorn and all that kind of stuff. And then suddenly the noise from the cinema began to play and you suddenly realize actually how loud it is in a cinema. And as the music began to play, they then came to a point in the evening, where afternoon, morning, where they said, now it's time to put on your 3D glasses. And so I brought mine with me, my buddy Holly's. Now then, now then, now then. And so we put on these 3D glasses, and as we put the 3D glasses on, we then sat back. And as we sat down, and of course Zach had him over this side like this, and he could hardly keep the things on, but he sat there. But suddenly what we'd been watching kicked into a different dimension. What was one dimension on flat led us into a magical world. The picture literally jumped out of the screen. Without the glasses, the screen was blurred and unclear. But with the glasses, we entered into a magical world. And as I was coming out of the cinema, I just realized that so often we see things so dimly and so unclear. And what the Lord wants us to do is to put on the glass of faith so we can enter into the kingdom of God. To enter into a dimension that is not one dimensional, but is three dimensional. Jesus says this about the kingdom of God. He says this, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. And Jesus is speaking of a new seeing, a new knowing, a new knowledge that comes and is revealed by God alone. And we see it by faith. The message of Jesus is the message of the kingdom. It is received by those who are humble enough to come to Jesus like a child. The treasures, the secrets of the kingdom have been hidden from the wise and the learned unless they humble themselves like children and approach the throne of grace like a child. Otherwise, we cannot see and enter in. And if you turn with me to John 3, we come across a character called Nicodemus. And as we see in the story, he'd been living very much in the first dimension. What he thought he saw was clear was in fact blurred and unclear. And if you read, if you come with me to the beginning of John 3. It's John 3. John 3, exactly. And so it says this. Now there's a man, the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. And so Nicodemus was a well-respected teacher in Israel. He was a rabbi, he was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He was a highly regarded teacher in Israel, and he had been someone who had been a leading theologian, someone who really understood the Old Testament, really understood what God was saying about all sorts of things. And in society's perspective, he had it all. He had been well-respected. And there's something about Jesus that intrigues him. Isn't there something about Jesus that intrigues you? There's just something about him. You just can't grab hold of him, can you? You can't quite guess it with him. There's something you want to pursue with him. And so it says he came to Jesus at night. And I think it's very interesting that him came at night. I think one, we can read into that. He came at night maybe because he didn't want the other Jewish part of the Jewish council or the Pharisees to know that he'd gone to be and talk and see Jesus, because Jesus was becoming quite subversive. Or maybe he recognized that he didn't have and didn't want to be seen by his contemporaries. And so whatever it was, he came to Jesus at night and he says to Jesus this, he says, Rabbi, we know you're our teacher who comes from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you're doing if God were not with him. And in this first part here, Nicodemus is saying to Jesus, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher. But the first thing he's doing, he's assuming the wrong position before God. He's assuming that he is the teacher. And secondly, he says this, he uses the word we. He said, we know you're a teacher who comes from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you were doing if God were not with him. And he uses the words we, referring to the fact that he's probably coming on behalf of a number of people. And then he says this, you're our teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs that you're doing if you were not with him. And so he's saying that we recognize that you're a teacher. We recognize that you must be from God, because no one could do what you're doing unless God was with him. And on one level, they're absolutely right, weren't they? That he was from God. In fact, he was God. But they're also making their judgments on an earthly level. Their understanding of God was blurred and unclear, as Jesus is about to show. Jesus then says to Nicodemus, he says this, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. And what I love about this encounter with Jesus is this. When Nicodemus came to Jesus, he was coming as a teacher, he was coming as a rabbi, he was coming as the chief teacher in Israel. And when he came to Jesus, he was doing what a rabbi did by asking questions, making statements. But when he came to Jesus, Jesus immediately turned the encounter around and said, I'm the teacher of Israel. You have got so much to learn because God has come to you. And then what does he says? I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. And that statement is unsettling to Israel's teacher as a Nicodemus, because he exposes his spiritual need. Jesus is saying the kingdom requirement is this, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. And so Nicodemus, like you and me, was sort of saying, what do you mean born again? It's an incredible statement, isn't it? And he says what we probably would have said. He said this, how can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked, surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. And I know that having a three-year-old child and a six-month-old child, I'm sure my wife wouldn't like them to be reinstated back here again, because I'm sure one would be quite awkward to walk, and it's not ideal, is it? The pain of it. And so he says, how can he be born again? And Jesus says this, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my teaching. You must be born again. And so what is Jesus doing in this? Jesus is bringing light into Nicodemus's darkness. Nicodemus came by night to see Jesus, and Jesus came as the light of the world to Nicodemus. And he says this, he wants Nicodemus to enter in to the life of the Spirit. And he says this, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of water and born of the Spirit. He wants you and me to enter into a different dimension, that a dimension of the Spirit, and it requires a person to be born again. And so he says, unless you're born of water and the Spirit, you cannot see or enter into the kingdom of God. So what does it mean to be born of water? Well, the water is very symbolic of the water of baptism. And we all know, or many of us understand, the whole nature of the baptism, where it's a picture of the people of Israel being released from Egypt and the bondage of slavery, and being released as the Lord led them out of the Red Sea through to the Promised Land. And it's the imagery of God's salvation. Water is almost also an imagery of water in the next chapter, of water welling up into a paternal life. Jesus saying, if only you knew the water that I give you, that will well up into eternal life. Water is also an image of being cleansed from sin. And in baptism, we have the imagery of going down into the water, being cleansed from sin, leaving our old ways behind. And as we come out of the water, we're restored. And then secondly, Nicodemus is then taught about that we must be born of the Spirit, because out of the Spirit gives birth to Spirit. So to be born again means to live life differently. To live life by the Spirit is to see the world as Jesus did, and to enter in to 3D. And it's not operating as Nicodemus did, but to operate as Jesus did. Jesus goes on in verse 12, he says, I've spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? And he wants each one of us to move from the natural to the supernatural, from an earthly understanding to a heavenly one. And then he goes on to say, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. He says, you should not be surprised. You must be born again. And to be born of the Spirit means to be born of the wind. The words spirit and wind are both Greek and Hebrew words for the same things, interchangeable. Wind, spirit, spirit, wind, spirit. So he says the wind blows wherever it pleases. So he says, to be born again, we must be born of the Spirit. And he says the wind blows, or the Spirit blows where it pleases. So we don't know where it comes or where it goes. He says you hear its sound, which shows that we can recognize that there is a Spirit, but you cannot tell where it comes or where it's going. So the first thing about the Holy Spirit is this, that you and me are not in control. And I think we probably can recognize that more and more in our lives, can't we? I don't know about you, but I'm beginning to realize that actually it's probably not very good for me to be in control. And many of the times, Jesus gives me a picture of me driving a car and says, excuse me, what are you driving the car for? Can you please get out of the seat and just let me in? And if you're born of the Spirit, you'll recognize the Spirit. And the Lord wants us to be people who recognize what the Lord is doing. Have eyes to see what God is doing, what the kingdom of God is about. And thirdly, you do not know where it comes or where it is going. And so there's a sense of trusting and believing in God. Then Nicodemus says to Jesus, he says this, which is probably, I bet he regrets saying this. He goes, I love this when he goes, how can this be, Nicodemus asked. And Jesus says, you are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and you do not understand these things. It's an incredible statement, isn't it? I just love it. It's just so embarrassing. This is like the top theologian of the nation. This is the most, he would have been respected by all the people of Israel. But the true teacher of Israel comes to him and said, you do not know these things. Why? Because the things that Jesus was about was the things of the Spirit. And I think that I've just been really challenged again and again that Jesus wants to open our eyes to the wonder of his kingdom. And he doesn't want us to be walking in one dimension, but to be released into the fullness of God. And by faith and by his grace, he wants us to see things in a dynamic and a new way. And to see things that to us look really plain and blurred and nothing's going on here and there's just nothing there. And suddenly seeing, wow, my gosh, God is here. His presence is here. And there's a wonderful story in Kings. And I'm going to conclude with this as we lead into communion. If I can find it. And this is a story of Elisha and his servant. And Elisha is basically holed up in this city, and in the city of Dothan. And he's got the king of Aram who's after him. He wants to basically get rid of him because he's speaking revelations into into the nation, into the army that he's basically the background to is that the king of Aram has a war with Israel. And God is speaking to Elisha, and he's telling the armies where his armies are going to be, so they're always able to avoid coming into conflict with the armies of Aram. And so they find out that Elisha is in the city, and so they send horse and chariots and a strong force by night and surround the city. And then it says this, when the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh my Lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. And it's a picture of a city under siege. And we have Elisha who's there with a servant, and all around the city they can't get out. They're surrounded by armies and chariots and all these kind of things. And I mean, I think that's a very big picture often of the time we feel overwhelmed, isn't it? Where we're surrounded, where we think there's just no way out of here. We just think, for goodness sake, you know, this is it. It's over. It's finished. It's all going to go now. It's going to go pear-shaped. And the servant asks Elisha, he goes, you know, what are we going to do? And this is the first thing he said, this, don't be afraid. Jesus in the boat, be still. Don't be afraid. That's the first word. I love that with Jesus. Love that with God. We see the problem, we see the overwhelmingness of something, and his first thing is don't worry about that, don't be afraid. And you kind of think, well, what, for goodness sake, I've got every right to be afraid. Look at the city, we're absolutely surrounded. And then the prophet answered this, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And sometimes we can't see that, can we? We kind of go, that can't, you know, we can't, everything around us, just, there's just not a reality to us. And then Elisha did what is just the most important thing to do, and the way we want to keep doing this, is he prayed. He said this, O Lord, open his eyes so he may see. And then the Lord opened his eyes. And he looked and saw the hills full of horse and chariots of fire all around. And I just would love that. Don't be afraid. Then he prayed, and the Lord opened his eyes. And he saw the heavens as full of God's chariots and horses and fire. It's just a wonderful picture of God opening our eyes to the King who's with us here today. And I'm not like an idiot, I don't care. It's well worth remembering it. Just remember these. Lord, open my eyes. And when you came in with your glasses, both of you today, your sunglasses, you walked in here like this evening. And I thought, yeah, the Lord's going to open your eyes. And that's it. We want the Lord to open our eyes this evening, don't we? We want to enter into the things of the kingdom. We enter the things of the kingdom by his Spirit. Spirit gives birth to spirit, and as the Lord releases that to us as we are open to him. And the kingdom of God is not far from each one of us here this evening. And the kingdom of God comes to us as we enter in like a child. And what we're going to do this evening is we're just going to enter into the things of the kingdom through what Christ has done for us upon the cross. And again, what seems a very insignificant meal is a reminder of an incredibly profound thing that Christ did for us upon the cross. And I'm just going to bring it into the center of this room this evening. And we're going to do it in a very, very simple way. But we're going to remind ourselves of what the profound truth is of what Christ has done for us. And again, I just was thinking this afternoon about how God uses what seems to be very insignificant to profound revelations of himself. And I was reminded of the feeding of the 5,000, the feeding of the 4,000, where Jesus just took bread and he broke it. He thanked the Father and then he gave it out. And 4,000 people are fed, and 5,000 people are fed, plus women and children. And again, this evening, we come to a meal in which Jesus thanks the Father. He also breaks it, thanks the Father. And it's a picture of what Christ has done for us upon the cross, that there's not one person who God doesn't want to bless. And so let's just take a moment, just remind ourselves of what Christ has done for us. And then after that, we're going to have an opportunity to be prayed for if you'd like to be. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, to us, this looks like bread and looks like wine. But Lord, open our eyes that we may see what you did for us upon the cross. May you, Lord, enable us to see this as your flesh and your blood. A memorial to what you have done, not just for us, but you did for the whole world. And we come to you, Lord, not on our own righteousness, but we come before you as we are, Lord, in all our failures and all those things we have done wrong, those thoughts we've had, misjudgment we made about people. We bring those now to your cross. And Lord, what seemed a failure to the world as you were nailed on a cross outside the city wall was your glory to the whole world. And we want to thank you for what you've done for us. We want to thank you that you stand in the place that we should be and have taken our sins and death and nailed it to the cross. And so, Lord, we want to take this bread and we want to give you thanks. We break it. As Jesus said, take, eat this. It's my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then at the end of supper, he took a cup of wine, and this is black currant so that we can all share in it. He gave thanks and said, drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. And I just want to pray together as Jesus taught us to the Lord's Prayer. And I'm just going to read it and just that we could say this together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And so just as a very practical thing, just to let you know, it's non-alcoholic wine. It's normal bread. And so what if I could invite a couple of people who could maybe do that for us. So David, could you take, and maybe, yeah, those two would be great, brilliant. So we're just going to simply, if I give you that, brilliant. If I give you that, it'd be fantastic. It's great. So if you want to come up, I'm just going to, it says this, draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you, and feed on him in your hearts with thanksgiving. Amen. So please come forward, and it's a table which is welcome to everybody, as the cross has dealt with all our sin for everybody. So please, anybody who would like to participate, please come forward. So as I as we were playing, as I said, that as we were speaking, was that it's God wants to release His Spirit afresh upon us, and it's the ministry of the Spirit. Because Spirit gives birth to Spirit, and the anointing was upon Jesus by His Spirit. And so, as the music's playing, I just want an opportunity just to come forward and invite the Spirit to come and to minister to those who would like to be prayed for. And so, if you just want to come up now and we can just pray with you. Do you guys want to come up and pray with you guys? So, who wants to be prayed for, just come forward, because the Spirit's Lord is here and He's with us. Because we've got, there's not loads of us, so we can really pray for you this evening. We're going to have this opportunity to worship the Lord through our giving, and so there's an opportunity to give. So David's going to pass the basket around for that, but also an opportunity to receive from the Lord. And so if you want to be prayed for, I just would like to invite you to come forward so that we can pray with you, and then we've got tea and coffee after, just to hang around. But just invite you to come, because the Spirit's really moving here this evening, and it's you know, it's not a miss out, not a pass by, because God's with us. And so if you want to be prayed for, please, you know, please come and join, come up the front. Lord Jesus.